You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
You want to talk about a unique journey to being, well, I'm just in the NFL, but for the 49ers, you know, being on this roster, Derek Canteen comes in number 88 on our list. We had to bump, you know, we had to move some stuff around after the last roster moves. He had votes of 88, 86, 86, 83 out of all four of our rankings. Shout out to Zach Ben and Joss, our executive producers of this series. But not only is he an undrafted free agent rookie, priority free agent, but like he didn't even get signed on the initial undrafted free agents. He had to come in for a rookie tryout at their rookie camp, impressed so much that he got brought onto the 53-man roster. Like nobody else has had this type of impact in that same situation that's on this 90-man to win a rookie tryout, not even a priority free agent. So the 49ers like him. Let's get to know him. A crazy journey, not even just, you know, not making it, not getting drafted, not being a priority free agent, has come in for a rookie, but not one or two, three colleges, transfers. This is the new norm for guys trying to find a way into the league. So Derek Canteen comes in number 88 on our 2025 49ers roster countdown, 5'11", 197. The 49ers have a type at defensive back. It's as close to 6 foot, 200 pounds as you can get. And 5'11", 197 is pretty dang close. 24 years old. He had a 4.54 40-yard dash, which is right on that cusp of the threshold of being a corner. Now, the good thing that Derek Canteen has going for him is just versatility. He can play free safety. He can play box safety. He can play nickel. He can play outside corner. So all five defensive back spots, plus a dime, if you want to throw that in there too. He can do it all. His three cone was 7 flat, so change of direction's great. 30-inch vertical, like that to be a little bit better. 9.9 broad, like that to be a little bit better. 17 bench press reps, solid. So upper body strength, physicality, check, check, check. He's from Evans, Georgia. He went to Evans High School. From there, stayed in Georgia, committed to Georgia Southern, which the 49ers, Jerick McKinney, Matt Breida, both from Georgia Southern as well, transfers to Virginia Tech, the Hokies, in 2023, then played in Cincinnati last year. So, you know, Georgia Southern 3 years, 1 year VT, 1 year Cincinnati. He's got experience. This is a, you know, 54 games played kid with experience and versatility, and not one, not two, but three defensive schemes playing multiple positions. Smart, on a roll kid. He was the defensive player of the year in high school for his county, regional state title as a junior, you know, transferred a lot, has 6 years. So he's already 24 years old as a rookie. This dude, you know, you're going in, it's just different times. Some years you have 20-year-old rookies. Some years you have 24, 25-year-old rookies. He's in that camp. So the experience, that's something that just plays so well for him. Over 2,000 plus, you know, snaps played. He was listed as a safety, but I think you fell him at corner, then go to safety. Special teams is where this kid would make the roster if he does, but it's an uphill battle. And let's just be very frank. Derek Canteen has already overcome insurmountable odds to get to where he is. He is still a ways away if he wants to contribute on this team, but man, who's going to stop this momentum at this point? He was a team captain at Cincinnati in 2024. First team All-Sun Belt twice. Freshman All-American in 2020 with Georgia Southern. He led all of the FBS with 6 interceptions. And so it was like, whoa, what's going to happen here? Well, he finished his career with only 9 interceptions. So you go from 6 picks your very first rookie, you know, freshman year. You only accumulate 3 more interceptions over the next 5 seasons. That's something that is there. He did do a dual enrollment at the Georgia Military College for 3 years, so you kind of have to check off the you know, discipline and all that stuff. He's going to fulfill that going through that school. You know, wasn't one of the players we ranked over 340 players. He wasn't on our list. He wasn't even on my watch list. Wasn't on many consensus big boards. But got invited to rookie camp by the 49ers and impressed them so much, they waived safety Quindell Jackson to make room for him. So this was somebody that they were like, we need to get this guy here. They liked him that much. You know, in anything that fortifies the idea of a meritocracy, like imagine you're a safety bubble roster player, and then you look over and like, wait, they just signed another safety from a rookie tryout? Like, okay. All right, what's this kid got? Like, he's got to have something to him. I think Nichols probably where I like him most. And, you know, just adding a little texture to kind of who he is. He launched a real estate podcast, Derek Canteen did, while at Virginia Tech with his NIL money. So talk about somebody that's got a big, broad picture for what's going on there. I love it. He talked on the podcast, you know, I listened to it. Just the goal is creating generational wealth. Well, the easiest way to do that for you, Derek, find a way onto this 53-man roster or practice squad and just wait for your opportunity and seize that moment. Now, my film breakdown of him, versatility and coverage. That's just, he could play all 5 spots. That allows him safety room, corner room, nickel room, special teams where you got to do it. But he's got multiple strikes where, look, okay, you're not an outside guy. You're not fast enough. All right, well, nickel, okay, can you fit there? The body type says yes. But, you know, you look at 5'11", 197, he's the exact same build as, you know, Marquis Siegel, who they drafted this year. So just versatility. Speed isn't great. Hips are. That's his best asset that I saw, just flipping the hips. The 7-second three cone, I wish he would have been invited to Indy, because I would guess it'd probably be more like a 6'8 something, but the hand time is what it is at pro days. 9 interceptions in his career, like that. Off man coverage, I think that's kind of a big deal too, right? So like you're talking about somebody that can play off ball. Can he transition and be more of a press physical corner? Again, more of this just screams nickel to me. Nickel, nickel, nickel. But transitions are quick, very, very twitchy, no problems in run support, and gets after it. I just think nickel's kind of his best spot. Now, his college career, 54 games played, 204 tackles, that's huge, 8 tackle for losses, 1 sack, 9 picks, 32 pass breakups. So ball production's there. What happened for the last 5 years only having 3 picks? That's interesting to me. Three forced fumbles in his career. He did have a torn pec in 2021, missed most of that season, but came back and you have 22, 23, 24. So you have three consecutive years of production after the injury. So that's kind of as healthy as you're going to get being a 24-year-old going into the NFL. Now, he signed on May 5th, right? So this is weeks after the draft, a three-year, $2.9 million deal, right? That's the undrafted free agent kind of structure, the minimum there, no guarantees. But you got him under contract for 3 years. Can he find a way to hang around? That's going to be the question. So odds are, man, probably not going to be around for long. It might be one of these back end of the roster guys that kind of churns. But they saw him, they liked him, they got him in-house over a vet. Can he find a way just to hold on? That's the question. Probably best case is to not make the 53-man roster, find a way onto that practice squad, one of those 16. And then who knows? Injury happens, you get elevated. That Emmanuel Mosley kind of, you know, track record, that's what this guy's looking for. Now you look at his stats, 77.6 overall. A PFF grade, 64.7 run defense grade, not bad, 81 coverage grade. So you're getting him because of the versatility, you're getting him because of the experience, you're getting him because of the coverage. Can he transition to a safety, to a nickel? Can he find a spot on special teams? That's what we got to say. And, you know, one of the other undrafted free agents or priority free agents, Jacob Robinson, these two are in direct competition with each other. There's no way the 49ers are going to find a way to keep both. I hope that they do. But you have these two young, promising, versatile nickel safety guys, Jacob Robinson versus Derek Canteen. I don't think there's room for both, but man, competition, what does it bring out in you? It brings out the best. Who's going to win it? Who wants it more? Who's the hungriest? That's what we're going to see. And for us on the 49ers rush, we're just going to keep counting them down.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Number 87 on the 49ers roster countdown, linebacker Chaz Surratt. And if you're a college football person, then you know this name. But he wasn't a linebacker. He was a quarterback. This was an all-state championship, you know, whatever, quarterback, one of the top-rated quarterbacks coming out of high school, went to the University of North Carolina to play quarterback, made a position switch after starting a lot of games in the ACC. And just such a very unique experience. One of the newest 49ers, and I'll admit to one of the biggest issues of this roster countdown is we go through and do all of our rankings, Zach, Ben, Josh, and myself, and then roster changes continue. I think Chaz Surratt would have been higher on this list, but we went ahead and just replaced Deshaun White, the linebacker that was, you know, waived on the roster. They brought on Chaz Surratt. And so that's why he lands at 87 here. But I'm going to be honest with you, like, probably should have been in the 70s, maybe even back into the 60s. But this is a flaw in the process of the 91 roster countdown that we do. But that's okay. He's a damn good player. And so transition from quarterback to linebacker in college was a third round draft pick to the Minnesota Vikings. It didn't really pan out very well, and that was just a really, really weird draft in and of itself with, you know, COVID and all that kind of stuff. That was the, real quick, that was the 2021 draft. He got drafted third round, 78th pick. Again, same round as Trey Sermon, Ambry Thomas, but there were still some hits in the third round. Milton Williams, Nico Collins, Quinn Miner, Spencer Brown. Chaz Surratt, I don't think, would qualify as a hit, as, you know, he only played He played in 9 games for Minnesota, but then everybody got fired. And, you know, with what happened there, and then he got waived. Then he got picked up by the Jets, where he, you know, found a way to play. It wasn't very much on defense. Only 146 defensive snaps in his career. He's a special teams guy. He's a special 664 special team snaps in his career. This is a Brant Boyer. This is a Robert Saleh type of guy. So let's go through a little bit of Chaz Surratt and what makes him who he is, besides just being such a unique individual. I love the way he spells his name. Chaz with 2 Z's. Surratt, 2 R's, 2 T's. A lot of double letters there. 6'2", 229. 30-inch wingspan, 28 years old. He ran a 4.5 40, 7.043 cone, and a 31.5-inch vertical with 25 bench press reps. Going into his fifth season. He's from Denver, North Carolina, went to East Lincoln High School, and went to North Carolina. And, like, not only did he go to North Carolina to play football, they wanted him on the basketball team. Like, this dude is a freak athlete that can kind of do it all, quarterback, linebacker, special teams. Playing at North Carolina, that's no joke. And, in fact, for his senior day game at North Carolina, Roy Williams came out, who recruited him, and gave him his basketball jersey that he would have worn had he chose to play basketball for UNC. He chose to focus on football instead. Younger brother Sage was an all-conference wide receiver at Wake Forest, so athleticism, it's in the family. And he's got the intelligence. Was a big-time chess player and did lots of tournaments as a kid, all those different things. Like 229 touchdown passes, a high school state record in North Carolina. Like, this dude was recruited to play quarterback at a big time college football program and then transitioned, which I think was probably the smart choice, because I don't think he would have caught on in the NFL. Now he's going into year 5 in the NFL, so he's kind of turned it into something. He made the switch to linebacker in the 2019 season and became a first team All-American right off the bat. Like, how crazy is that? He can kind of just do everything. Now, you look at his stats, 37 career tackles in, you know, 4 years, not great. 2 tackle for losses, 1 quarterback hit. He's got 5 starts. Understand that's not why he's being brought to the 49ers. Linebacker depth, yes. This is a special teams play that perhaps can sub in versus pass-heavy teams in the passing game, because that's where he excels. You know, the film, athleticism, awareness, lateral movement. Obviously, the quarterback background helps, but the run game liability, that's why he doesn't get to play too much on defense. Not the best tackler either, but he's intense, and you see him being hyped up on special teams all the time. He's a Robert Saleh, Brant Boyer guy. It's just, he's a liability against the run. So if you're playing a heavy pass team, you want to blitz him. That's why I think he got drafted in Minnesota. He's a blitzing linebacker that can cover, that is just not really there whenever it comes to the run game. Injury, he had an ankle issue in 2023, missed 3 games. 49ers brought him in on a 1-year, $1.15 million deal. Not that much, but $315,000 in guaranteed money. Like I said, he comes in number 87, Chaz Surratt, on our roster countdown. I think he probably should have been around that 68-73 range if we had to do it all over again, but here we are. Robert Saleh and the Jets were on Hard Knocks the year that they brought him over. And, you know, there's a clip in the preseason where Chaz Surratt gets an interception, and they cut to, you know, Robert Saleh mic'd up, and I can't put the clip on. I tried putting the clip up, and YouTube took it down, but whatever. The quote is, like, Robert Saleh is smiling, as, you know, Robert Saleh goober is. I love it. That's my dog. That's my dog. That guy is so good. He is so good. Like, that's the quote. Like, Robert Saleh loves this guy. Johnny Holland was asked by Larry Kruger just recently, you know, about how he feels about Chaz Surratt. And Johnny Holland, I didn't know this. He says, you know, Johnny Holland played quarterback before he played defense. And he said, quote, "I love guys that play quarterback first, and he is super athletic and smart," end quote. Glad to have him. And he talked about how they were high on Chaz Surratt as well. win the draft, but I mean, he went in the third round, which was a major, major reach, and just really hasn't been able to solidify that yet. But he's going to be a special teams guy. Best case scenario, makes the 53-man roster as a special teams ace. It kind of plays like that DFF role where like he can come in on some three-down linebacker sets, but I don't think the 49ers want that. I think he's going to be a backup linebacker that could give you depth, but start on every single special teams group. I think that's what it is. Now, most likely scenario is Luke Gifford, Curtis Robinson, if he gets healthy, and Chaz Surratt. I think they're kind of all fighting for that same spot. Luke Gifford got paid. They gave him a lot of guarantees, so I think Luke Gifford has the first shot at that, but do you carry two special teams linebackers? There's room for that. It's just not a lot of teams do that. So Curtis Robinson, man, can he get healthy? Is he going to stay on the PUP and just not count? Those are kind of the three names to watch there. But, you know, I would put this at a 50-50 that he makes the team. You know, is he going to be on that initial 53? Do you try to get him back on the practice squad and call him up week one, week two, whatever else, what that looks like? Injuries are going to be key, but can he prove that he can make it the linebacker rotation? If Chaz Surratt can do that, then I think he's going to be involved because the special teams, check, 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 check. Like, he is an above average quality special teams player, and he knows. He's been with Brant Boyer. They brought him in, and they moved on from Deshaun White, who was probably a better linebacker than special teams player. They're kind of figuring out what it is that they want out of that spot. And so the fact that he has that super high floor of, dude, just put him on every single special teams unit. He's going to bring the energy. He's got the passion. He's got the intelligence. He knows the system defensively. This is a Robert Saleh guy. All those linebackers that were carried over from Nick Sorensen, from D'Amico Ryans outside of Fred Warner, none of them are Robert Saleh guys. Chaz, Robert Saleh guy. So I think he has a little bit of a leg up. So he hit number 87 on our countdown. But again, you got to asterisk it because I think he's higher. I really, really do. And I think we're going to see Chaz Surratt in the red and gold this year in the regular season. And I hope that he makes it because he's just such a fun player. Quarterback to linebacker and could have played basketball at UNC. Come on, man. I want me some athletes. I want the smarts. I want the intelligence. Fun player, and I'm glad to have him on the 49ers, and for us, we'll just keep counting them down. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. You're not supposed to probably have favorites, right? Like covering these players and the teams and all that stuff. But, you know, we throw convention out the window. And today's episode on the roster countdown, number 86, defensive back, undrafted free agent, Jacob Robinson, by far one of my favorites. We had him on the show a couple weeks ago. We got to interview him. We're going to have some clips on that during today's show. So I think when the whole idea of the roster countdown series that we started, I think 4 years ago, this year, five, was to make these players come to life. And whenever you have the time to sit down, even if it is virtually, and just participate in that discourse, like, man, this kid, he's easy to like. There's no doubt about that. So, defensive back Jacob Robinson from BYU, currently wearing jersey number 49. He's small. I mean, this is one of the smaller people on the team, 5'10", 180, you know, not long arms. He played at like 160. We'll hear about that. 24 years old, but speed demon and tough as hell. Ran a 4.39. It is just tough. Now, one of the challenges that we were able to talk to him about is this dude was able to gain double-digit pounds and still run a 4.39 at his pro day. So that's what I wanted to, you know, let's jump to that because I think that this clip is huge because it talks about his work ethic, how important it is to him, and what the 49ers want from him and where they want him to start playing the play weight at. You gained 10 to 15 pounds and still ran a 4.3. How in the hell do you add weight and still run a 4.3? How do you balance those things? What was that training regimen like?
So I was actually training in Seal Beach with Les Spellman. And honestly, it was the perfect thing I could have done. Being out in Cali, being in the warm weather, was very healthy for me, of course. And it was snowing back home, so it was nice to be out there. And I think the food was great. We had right meals. They were my meal prep. And so, honestly, they were just our nutritionist, Kira. She was really on top of everything, just texting me all the time, like, are you eating? Are you eating? What are you eating? And so making sure I'm not just stuffing my face with stuff that's bad for me, that'll just make me like get bad weight, but making sure I'm eating good stuff and making sure I'm eating during the lift, eating an Uncrustable or dried mangoes, just keeping calories on me. So honestly, yeah, I think gaining that weight and getting stronger from the workout from Adam Wright, who's our strength coach at out there, was honestly amazing. Yeah, they helped my legs get stronger so I could run, could move a little bit, and yeah, so.
Have you talked with the 49ers about, man, your play weight was kind of up and down, especially with what you did at the pro day, which was so cool. Like, what is your projected play weight that they want you at? Have they talked to you about that yet?
Not too much. I know they want me above 180. So, yeah, I weighed 181 when I got there, and I'm just trying to maintain, and then whatever they say, I'm going to do it. So, yes, sir.
So what was your play weight at BYU your last year? Was it like, where, how do you, you've gone through it with the workouts and all that. Is it going to be a chore maintaining that weight? Are you used to doing that in the season?
Yeah. So during season I played at like 166. That's pretty light, but I felt good. But I think honestly, I like being 180 and up just cause I feel stronger, feel more durable. And I think, yeah, just my legs. I just feel more bouncy. And I know some people feel like they feel heavy, but I feel great, honestly.
Well, you turn up a 4.3. I think you're doing okay, man. So that is impressive. And I think, you know, the questions that you have when skill position players have to add weight, 14-plus pounds, is, man, can the speed, which makes that player so incredible, can that be maintained? Well, that question's been answered. You ran a 4.39. At that added weight. So now can he just sustain that weight during training camp, during the season, during all those things? That's huge. But the athleticism is off the charts. Dude jumped 38 and a half inch vertical. That is a freak. 7 second three cone, change of directions. Great. 155, 10 yard, explosive, electric, just pops off. I mean, this dude, he's a freak athlete. Add that weight, you get the durability that he talked about and the strength. Yeah, this could be something new for him. There's a lot of untapped potential because if he can maintain that 4.3 speed, that 38.5-inch vertical, which he did with the increased weight at the pro day, I think that's huge. So he's going into his rookie season. Obviously, he's a Utah kid, went to Orem High School, then he went to Utah State, then transferred to BYU. And it was at that time, whenever he was at Utah State transferring to BYU, he made an important connection. Coach Ray Brown, who is the new defensive back coach for the 49ers, was there. And so he already had his number and texted and knew each other, went through the recruiting process. Now, Coach Ray Brown left whenever Jacob Robinson was coming in, but the connection was made, and I think that's a huge dividend. And he talks about this later on in the video. You can go check out the full interview if you want to. Just type in 49ers Rush Jacob Robinson, it'll pull up. So let's get to some more of Jacob Robinson's background. Played football, basketball, ran track growing up. Big family, 6 siblings, 5 brothers, 1 sister. Does like to play Xbox in the free time. What kids don't, right? And while he was at high school at Orem, they won a ridiculous amount of success. They had 3 straight state championships, and he played with a lot of talented guys. you were a part of not one, not two, but three consecutive state championships in high school. What was that all about?
Honestly, so I started playing football in like second grade. My second grade coach ended up being my senior year coach. So I was with him. He was trying to build this team a legacy because when he was there, he won state championships and he would just always talk about it with us. And so like he coached me in basketball, football, baseball. And so honestly, like he was just trying to build a legacy and that's really what he did. So like my, I think it was my sophomore year, we won our first state championship. And then, yeah, so if you know Puka Nacua, played with him, played with Noah Sewell, which is, if you know Panay Sewell, it's his little brother, Kingsley Suamatiya. He's on the Chiefs right now. So we have four, maybe five NFL players just from that high school team that I played with. And we were really stacked. We all knew ball. We playmakers everywhere. So
how do you maintain that high level for so many years in a row?
I think we're all on the same page. A lot of team chemistry. Our coaches were honestly amazing. They taught us a lot that we know today. And I just think, yeah, we all played together. And it, of course, we had a target on our back. Everyone hated us, honestly, in the state. So our first year when I was a sophomore, we were 4A. They ended up bumping us up to 5A just because we were good at football, honestly, and basketball and stuff. So we could have been a 3A school just because of the amount of students we had. But we were that good at football, honestly. And so we played Bishop Gorman and stuff. And we actually lost to them. But, yeah, we had really good teams on our schedule every year and just wanted to kind of show the country what we could do.
I think it's huge when players are part of excellence and then understanding what it takes to maintain that. And so from a team perspective, not one, not two, but three straight, you know, state titles, that's a big deal. But also being able to rely on Puka Nacua, Kingsley Suamatiya, Panay Sewell, you know, all those guys, that's huge. Knowing guys that you grew up with, seeing them have that success, being able to have those conversations, mimic that success, I think that's a big deal. So the excellence factor that he's already participated in experience-wise, that's gigantic. And off the field, he's a great kid. You know, volunteers at a local food bank, Tabitha Way, you know, and whatever you look at, just, okay, team captain at BYU. He's an economics degree already at BYU. Like, this is not somebody that's looking to find the easy way through, and he's going to have to continue that because he's an undrafted priority free agent. You got to fight for that stuff. Now, academic All-American, you know, second team All-Big 12, played with Fred Warner's little brother. Now he's playing with Troy Warner's big brother, and he gets to go up against Puka Nacua, his high school teammate, hopefully a couple times a year, and I don't think that's something he's going to back down with. And so now we go to the film, and kind of one of the things that sets him apart, he's undersized, right? Going to be a nickel slash safety, maybe outside corner, but probably not. It's ball skills. This dude had 11 interceptions, absolute ball hawk. You talk about pass breakups, off the charts. He just leaps, his leaping ability. And so whenever I'm watching his tape, I'm like, dude, this guy, one, he's a playmaker, but he is undersized. That comes across on the tape. So I asked him, of the 11 interceptions, is there one that is your favorite? And as I play this clip, I want you to pay attention to how much he talks about film, recognizing routes, and studying, because I think that's his greatest asset. Not his speed, not his leaping ability. It's how much he is a student of the game. Now, of the 11 interceptions, does one of them stand out? Is there one of them that's like, oh, this one is my interception that I remember? It stands above the others.
I'd say Sam Houston. We're in the red zone, trying to hold them to a shutout. They're about to score. I literally saw the exact play they ran on film the night before, but I didn't see it all week of my film watching. So I was actually watching YouTube videos of them, and I was just like trying to watch, just look for extra stuff. And I see they like to run this little rub route in the red zone. And they line up in the same thing, and I'm like, oh, here it comes. So I walk over to my other cornerback, Eddie Heckard, and I tell him, I said, they're going to run a rub route right here. So he goes up and presses and makes sure, because he knows he's going to run a slant, they're going to do a rub route. So he just makes sure it gets perfect hands on, and I just go over the top, look for the ball, it's right there, just my favorite type of pick. Just jump up in the air, use my athleticism and catch the ball. So,
man, the thing I love most about that is it starts in the film room. Like, when you understand the route combinations coming your way, you get the answers to the test. And if you could translate that into, like you said, 11 career interceptions, that's a big deal. When you have the awareness to understand, okay, this is what they do in the red zone. Okay, I remember who was next to me on my thing. I have the confidence and ability that the coaches trust in me to go tell them, hey, this is what they're doing, and we're going to kind of adjust what we're doing. It's the education student mindset that just grasps me, and it's like, okay, why do players not make it in the NFL? Is it because of athletic reasons? Is it because of durability injury reasons? Is it because of work ethic? Is it because of intelligence? John Lynch talks all the time. We want guys that love football. This is somebody that just talked about how he watched film all week. And then the night before the game, he's scrolling YouTube clips on his own, trying to get just a little bit of something else. And sure enough, it pays dividends. So the work ethic, the education, the mindset, I want to buy stock in this kid because, you know, and what's that going to look like for him? You know, he's number 86 on our thing. He's got an uphill battle. But when we do these roster countdowns, Jacob Robinson's number 86 for the 2025 year. I'm not sure he's going to be number 86 for the 2026 year. This is somebody that has an uptrend that I think has so much to offer. Now, whenever we watch his tape, here's his PFF score, 74 overall, solid, 69.9 run defense. That's probably the one that stands out the most. He's small, but he's not afraid to mix it up. He has no qualms whatsoever coming out and helping in the run game. He's not a timid player despite the lack of size, and the length is there. 71.4 tackling grade, yeah, take that all day for a defensive back, and a 72.5 coverage grade. Not a lot of weaknesses besides being undersized. That's it. Speed, and like even if you wanted to play him on the outside, which he has done a lot, he doesn't have the length. He does have the speed. He does have the leaping ability. He does have the ball skills. So I think that he'll be a nickel first to safety, but that doesn't mean he can't play outside. And I'm sure he'll get some reps out there just to see what it looks like, but he has the versatility. Ball skills off the charts, so good in zone, trust what he's supposed to do, and he'll get in the mix of the line of scrimmage. That's going to be the biggest challenge for him. Can he be a physical presence at 180 pounds? There's a lot of nickels that do it. He never has. So can that added weight be impactful for him? That's going to kind of be the key. Now, here's what's, you know, another thing that I think is really interesting. The 49ers were not the first, second, third, fourth team to reach out to him. You know, the undrafted free agent process is a little bit of the Wild West where, hey, if you're not getting drafted, every team's calling or a lot of teams are calling, and a lot of teams wanted Jacob Robinson on this team. So I asked him, what was the draft day process like and why did you eventually go with the 49ers? I thought that this was pretty telling. 49ers. Walk us through the process, day three of the draft, your phone's ringing off the hook. There's rumors out there that you've been offered from so many different teams. I don't know how much of that is legit or not legit, but walk us through the process of the 49ers calling you, who called you, and what that whole thing was, the just talk to us about just becoming a 49er and what that call was like.
So I was actually getting a text from Coach Brown during the draft. He's like, we really like you and stuff. And someone else was texting me too, but I think they were really high on me, and they were just telling me, like, if you end up sliding through, we want you like really bad. So I had the Seahawks actually call me in the sixth round, and I thought I was getting drafted. My family's all recording, and they wanted to make a UDFA deal and just kind of like make sure that they might have me. So Coach Brown didn't want me to make any deals until I talked to him. So I just stuck to my word and just kind of waited it out, and then had a couple other teams call me after the draft. And it was actually crazy because my dad was stressed during the whole thing. He was out handing my family food, handing everyone treats the whole time, just running around. So but I actually went out of the room after the draft, and I was just kind of texting my agent, texting as many people as I could, with the NFL. And so I had, some people spam calling me. Like, I had the Lions, the Ravens, and then the Chargers ended up calling me after. But I was just kind of waiting on Coach Brown. Of course, I like the Ravens a lot. I mean, their defense, everyone knows their defense is really good. But I also know that the 49ers defense is good. I mean, Fred Warner's there, Debo's there. So I really like that. And I really had a good connection with Coach Brown. So I was like, I just got to wait it out. And then he ended up calling me. And then me and my agent decided we're coming with to the 49ers. So
that's what's up. And a couple questions in the chat. I love the fact that he... You know, the word, my word is important. I told him I would wait, so I waited. Lots of other teams offering. Waited, waited, waited. Doesn't commit. The Coach Brown calls, Ray Brown. Yeah, let's roll. So impressive. And so, like, the maturity on this kid. And, yeah, he's 24. He's an older rookie, and he's played a lot of football. You talked about the three state championships in college. 2,600 career snaps at BYU. He's played a lot, 190 tackles, 9 tackle for losses. You want to know if he can play on the line of scrimmage? There you go. Has 1 sack, 11 picks, 1 pick 6, 21 pass breakups. This dude has experience at the college and high school level. Can that translate? That's what you want. Now, the 49ers signed him to a 3-year, $2.9 million deal. No guarantees. He came here to earn a spot, and that's what it's going to have to be. Now, the good news for Jacob Robinson is, man, all those teams, he's going to have other spots if for some reason it doesn't work out here. But I want it to work out here. My biggest question mark on Jacob Robinson is not his size. It's the fact that he hasn't played much special teams. He was a star early on. And so only 53 special team snaps last year. That is where he's going to have to carve his role in. So, best case scenario, beats out a couple of guys on the roster in the nickel safety realm, finds a home on special teams, and finds his way on the 53-man roster. It's possible with this roster. There's a lot of safeties, but with Jair Brown banged up, with Malik Mustafa banged up, you want guys like this. But again, is he going to be a nickel? Is he going to be a safety? Is he going to be outside corner? Is he going to be all of them? What's that going to look like? Where can he find his home early? That's going to be huge. Now, the most likely scenario probably is not going to make the initial 53-man roster. But can he land on the practice squad? The 49ers use their practice squad as well, if not better, than any other team in the NFL. And they reward their guys consistently. Shanahan loyalty program works even on the practice squad. So that's what I want to see. Can Jacob Robinson make the practice squad and hang around and develop and learn the system? And then eventually, if an injury or two happens, he gets called up. That's his time to shine. You've seen guys like Emmanuel Mosley, you know, come up, and Kaywan Williams. These guys that were practice squad, undrafted free agents, come up and earn roles. Can he be the next one to do so? That's kind of what you're hoping for, but it's going to be hard. Because there's so many experienced players ahead of you that you got to pass. Like Chase Lucas, this dude's played a lot in the NFL. You go a draft up to Stout. Marquise Siegel is a do-it-all type guy. There's safeties. You brought in, you know, different guys from the tryout. You know what I mean? Derek Canteen. There's just so much competition. So while the 49ers don't have the quality depth that a lot of NFL teams have in the secondary, I don't think that it's there. There's a lot of bodies, and there's a lot of young, hungry dogs like Jacob Robinson that are going to give all that they got to make this roster, and I'm hoping one to two of them can seize that opportunity. And nobody would be happier than me, probably Jacob Robinson's dad and family and Jacob Robinson himself. But, man, right after that, it's John Chapman. I am a Jacob Robinson fan, and I really hope that he can carve out a role and make it on this roster because he's such a cool kid. And love his story, love his personality, love what he brings to the table. So at number 86 on the 2025 roster, 49ers roster countdown, man, Jacob Robinson, go out and prove something. Have to say thank you to Josh, Ben, and Zach, the executive producers of this show. And for us, we'll just keep counting them down.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.